really there's a flip side to it in the Court of Criminal Appeals. You could get there, and what you could do through oral argument is convince them that nothing good can come from your case, that even if it can be settled, it's not even going to be an opinion that will be helpful to jurisprudence. And they have the power to make your petition disappear, or I guess half your petition disappear. It's a rough analogy, but that could happen. And often it happens at oral argument. If you look at the number of cases each year that are dismissed as improvidently granted, they range between 1 and 5. Five would be a really high year, but half or more of them come after oral argument. Ask me how I know. So what you have is an opportunity. The court has a job to do. They either have to issue an opinion, or they want to issue an opinion if it's at all possible, if it's at all going to be helpful. So help the court help you. It sounds strange, but if you put the court's needs first from an advocacy standpoint, that is going to be the best way to get to what your client needs or what the public deserves. And so, you know, just from looking overall at the attitude about serving the court, you know, this is the best way I can do to represent it. No, I'm not delusional. I understand that I'm not actually on the Court of Criminal Appeals because I've seen my paycheck. What I'm saying is that if you approach arguments, if you approach all of your advocacy as though there's a problem that has to be solved, and that people of goodwill are trying to solve that, and that you can be a part of that process, that is the best way to advocate. You have a position, you want to win. Don't ever give up on that, but have it within this mindset. I think if you do that, you're going to end up having better results than if you would otherwise. Because the perverse side of that, I guess, is the cynical approach to Rule 47.1. Once you've handed in a brief and it's adequately briefed, and we all know there's a big gap between adequately briefed and really helpful to the court, you can wash your hands of it. And you can go back to doing whatever you were doing. You're a busy attorney, so there's always another case. There's always another client. And you can say, that's the court's problem. While the courts of appeals justices and the judges on the Court of Criminal Appeals work extremely hard, they take their job seriously, and they will do everything that's required of them with or without your help, how could you think that the process doesn't suffer when you don't help them? And the next time you complain about a Court of Appeals opinion that missed a point, or wasn't complete, or just isn't as cohesive as it could have been, think about the last brief you handed in, or think about the last oral argument you had, and ask yourself, did I do everything I could to help the court get to a good solution that is understandable and helpful to everybody else in the system? Okay, that's enough philosophy, I promise. Nuts and bolts time. It's oral argument. It's not an oral presentation. Okay, this to me is awkward. I've done 40 arguments. I know some of you have done a lot more. It's extremely awkward for me to sit here, or stand here in my case, and talk to you for half an hour with no feedback. That's an unnatural thing for any human being to do, unless you're just an awful listener, in which case people probably don't want to talk to you anyway. I'm used to going in to a situation where somebody wants to get help. Somebody wants to get something done, and they think I might be helpful. And so there's a give and take. And I was joking with Judge Newell before. It's not that I don't prepare for argument. I prepare intensely for it. But if I don't hear questions in the first minute or two, my move is normally to just keep saying increasingly bold statements about my position until somebody gets triggered and then asks me a question. You don't have that opportunity with an oral presentation, but why would you want it here? I mean, think about all the times where there's an important issue where the most qualified, or at least the most powerful people on the issue in Texas, can't even talk to you about that. You know, it's an ex parte conversation, or it's unethical in a given case, or they just don't want to have any sort of statement on something that might conceivably be before the court. And I don't expect them to always know what's before the court. They do a lot of work at the CCA and a lot of work in the courts of appeals. So you don't get a chance to talk to the people who have control over your client's fates, except when you're at oral argument. So why would you want them to sit there quietly for 15 or 20 minutes while you talk? It just doesn't make any sense. And if you're a gamer, if you like the practice, it's not something you'd enjoy doing anyway. So what you're looking for is a conversation. You just want a back and forth. You want to help the court help you. You want to address whatever problems they have, and you just want to keep it easy. And to me, you know, my career is broken down into two parts. I started in Waco, and the two things I've always liked most from when I started doing appeals was working with the trial prosecutors, who are the ones who get to work with the victims and law enforcement to make things work on the ground. And on the other end of things was to come and do oral argument at the Court of Criminal Appeals. And I do a lot more of one than I do of the other. But when you have the opportunity, get in there and make the most of it. And there's nothing better than being in the courtroom talking to the court. Now, sometimes that just isn't possible. Last year was a pandemic. It could be weather going forward. It could just be convenience. It could be that unless there's insistence or buy-in from the court, it may be that there's going to be a lot of, at least an option to do Zoom presentations or to do Zoom arguments. Don't do presentations. And there are some quirks involved with that. You know, one of the pros is you get to see everybody at once. This isn't a giant deal when you argue in front of a panel or when your court of appeals, like my home court in Waco, only has three justices. It's not hard to view everybody at the same time. But when you argue in the Court of Criminal Appeals, it's like sitting on the front row of a movie theater.